Olá, pessoal, sejam bem-vindos a mais um episódio do podcast. Nós estamos numa nova temporada dos podcasts da FHOP e, se você já viu, a gente tem sido muito intencional em chamar pessoas que têm um chamado, que têm uma graça e que têm um carinho e amor pelo movimento de oração. E hoje eu estou muito feliz de entrevistar e conversar com uma grande amiga, que é a Laura Hackett Park, que é uma líder de louvor aqui do IHOP de Kansas City. Se você não sabe, eu estou aqui agora nesse momento. Nós estamos num momento meio que sabático, eu e o Vini, e nós estamos tendo um tempo muito especial aqui. Para quem não sabe, essa casa é muito especial para nós, é da onde nós surgimos, né? Então é meio que uma casa mãe para nós. Fizemos aqui a faculdade do IHOP U, então para nós é um privilégio estar aqui, descansar e reconectar com amigos e com líderes que nós respeitamos tanto. Então hoje, sem falar muito aqui mais, eu quero só dizer o quanto eu estou feliz de estar introduzindo a Laura nesse podcast. E eu queria te pedir que você aperte o sininho se você quer receber novas notificações, lembrando que tem novos episódios chegando por aí, e deixe o seu comentário nos dizendo o que mais te tocou nesse podcast. Ok, Laura, you're very welcome to our FHOP podcast. We're so happy to have you here.
Thank you.
In Kansas City.
Yeah. But we love FHOP. From IHOP, we love FHOP.
Amen. Thank you. And it's just a privilege to have you here and be able to speak to the Brazilian audience a little bit about your story and about your journey in worship, which is a long one without telling your age. And I so admire you, really. Like, I track with you. I was saying this before we started, all your oracles, and like, whenever someone posts, I do like a box on Instagram and people ask me, okay, who are your references in worship?
Yeah,
you probably see me tag you a few times because I really do admire you.
Thank you.
It's a privilege to just catch up and have this conversation with you.
Thank you. I'm so honored.
Yes.
I really am. I love you. And I keep up with you and what you guys are doing.
Amen.
And the music that you're releasing and the worship. So it's an honor to be here with you talking. And also, I just want to say that I think that Brazilian Portuguese is some of the most beautiful sounding worship to me. It's the most pleasing language sung to my ears. Like, for real.
That's amazing.
And in school, I had to learn German, Italian, French. And I feel like French and Portuguese is one of the most pleasing sounds.
I love French, too.
To hear sung. It's like you want to hear those sounds. It's like it feels so good. So,
it's warm.
I don't know. It's just like the sound and the forming of the vowels. And it's like, oh, I just love it. So,
that's awesome to hear.
I love to listen to Portuguese worship. Just because it's like, well, I don't know exactly what they're saying, but I can feel the gist, and I just love to hear the sound of the language.
That's awesome. So she's tracking with Brazil, guys. So
yeah. Tag me in your posts. I'll repost them.
Yes. But tell us, who are you and, you know, where were you born? Just a quick, rapid fire kind of a thing.
Wait. Yeah. So I was born in Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay.
But we moved to Kansas City. The Lord prophetically moved my dad and mom to Kansas City when I was 7 years old, and gave my dad a crazy dream, and he confirmed it. And the dream was actually that we were entering into a Kansas City Chiefs parade, which we had no idea about some of the prophetic history with IHOP at the time. So we were entering in, and that was like, okay, we're going to Kansas City. And so we came when I was seven, and then my dad joined the church staff maybe when I was 10. And then Mike switched over from being a head pastor to the head of IHOP, started IHOP in 99. And my dad switched over from associate pastoring under Mike to IHOP full-time in 99, 2000-ish. And I was 14 years old. So I have been around since the beginning.
Yeah.
And I've been singing on sets. And I really started to sing more full time when I was about 16. And it was still in the trailers. And I really loved it.
That's amazing.
I loved singing just in this, like, I don't know, kind of smelly old trailer to the Lord. Like, there was no reason why we came. We didn't sing for anyone who came, because, like, hardly anybody came, you know. it was like just for him, and it was so epic. And so that's kind of where I started my worship journey mm-hmm. as a young teenager, still in high school, junior high and high school. And Mike would just be like, sing the scriptures. And so we would just like open up and start singing and stumble our way through. And at different times, Mike would be the one to come up and prayer lead in those early years. And I always treasured those times because he would just sit down and then he would like whisper things to us along, you know, like, no, you sing that. Good. Now sing that again. No, now you sing that. You know, and he would just like coach us.
It was like a maestro.
Yeah. In those early years. And I loved it. I learned so much. And he even did that when we switched to the prayer room that we're in now. He did that for some years too. He would jump on different sets and like just help train us.
Yeah.
And so I really like had deeply driven into me to sing the Bible, and you don't have to make up anything else. Like the word of God is so powerful mm-hmm. and it's prophetic enough. Mm-hmm. So I started singing the Bible more, loving, falling in love with it. And then I went to school. I actually was going to join. I did one thing internship back in.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Back in 2003, 20 years ago. Exactly. Wow. I was 17. And so I loved it so much, and I was like, I'm ready to jump in full time to IHOP. But the Lord was like, nope, you have to go to school.
Okay.
So I went to full time music school, but I did part time IHOP all the mm-hmm. way through, which was amazing because
it's the best of both.
Like, yeah, it really was.
Yeah.
It was an incredible experience. It's actually before IHOPU had a music school or anything, and IHOPU was called something else, anyways. It was like, it was all morphing right as I was in my university years. But it was amazing because I was able to really study music and mm-hmm. composition, mm-hmm. But also stay just locked into just singing to God, you know.
And the essence of worship.
Mm-hmm.
I love that because today, like personally, if I could go back, because I did IHOPU 4 years and I loved it and it was good for me and I wouldn't change it. But if I could, before getting married and having kids, and I wish I had done music school, because I feel like today there is this wrestle, you know, like between, oh, you don't need technique. You just need to have a heart. Your heart is what matters. Mm-hmm. And then there's those that say, you need to be excellent. Mm-hmm. You need to be the best. You need to be a good musician, you know, and I feel like we need to have that balance because our heart needs to be rooted in God, and the essence of our heart is what moves the Lord.
Yeah.
But we need technique to deliver that message and as a messenger.
Yeah.
And so how do you see that balance? Like if you had to tell people today.
Yeah. I mean, God calls everyone in out of different backgrounds, and so some people he's going to just
focus more on.
Well, I know people that he literally gave them the gift out of nowhere to understand music, you know?
Oh yeah. Those that are like, born with.
You know, there's like people that weren't even born with it. Like literally, like it was just like a timing thing and God gave it to them. And then I know other people that went to school for years and years and years, but their hearts are locked down. Mm-hmm. So it's like, yes, there's a balance. I feel like for me personally, it was like an obedience thing where I was like, no, I don't need that. And the Lord was like, actually, you do. And where I feel like, you know, all of us can worship. And actually, that's actually what I want to talk about is that's actually what God is raising up in the earth is the songbirds, the songs of the nations.
Yeah.
And you don't need a microphone. And actually, it really doesn't matter. Yeah. You can be on a stage or you cannot. You just have to release the song that the Lord gives you. But stepping back, like you can't really work with other people mm-hmm. in the prophetic flow is easy unless you know how to maneuver mm-hmm. the tools of music.
Yes.
And so in that way,
it helps.
It's actually like sometimes you can get by with it by yourself with Jesus, but if you want to interact with other musicians mm-hmm. and serve like together,
yes,
then it requires a training, and a different tool belt, you know. And so in that way, it's like if you feel called to serve with other musicians
in the church setting,
then yes, I highly recommend. Yeah. And I recommend all the way through as much as you can, you know.
Yeah, I say this because as I got put in that setting, to lead worship and be with a team in a church setting, I wish I had more tools musically to communicate.
Yeah.
You know, and I had to learn the hard way. And by myself, I'm like, here, I need to learn all the keys and I need, you know,
yeah.
and to be able to serve better with the team.
Yeah.
And I remember when I learned numerical numbers.
The numbers, yeah.
And here at IHOP, and I'm like, my gosh, I need to learn that. That's so hard. Oh my gosh. And so I feel like music is a language to communicate something.
Yeah.
And so the more you know, the better you can deliver the message when you're in that setting of church and leading the body and kind of a thing.
And enjoyable prayer. You know, the Lord loves enjoyable things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like as much as he's like, oh yeah, I love the rough and ugly and it's all the same. But he made us to want to enjoy beautiful things, you know. And so, you know, when someone's really good at art, you just want them to like just paint whatever. Like, we want your beauty. And when, you know, when you develop a skill, it's really to be a blessing to the body.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that way, too, if you're trying to be a blessing to the body, then like no matter where you're at, you just keep reaching for growth. You know? So
whatever area you serve.
Yeah. It's like I'm still reaching for growth as a worship leader. I want to be a blessing to the body and I want to be a blessing to my team members and, you know, so.
Awesome. Well, you say you have a lot to say about worship and what the Lord is speaking to you. So maybe you can expand a little bit on your journey, where you're at today in this, 20 something years leading worship. Right?
Yeah.
What do you feel the Lord is saying throughout the years of the worship that he requires and that he's looking for on the earth?
Yeah. I mean, personally, he just can't deny a broken heart, you know, broken and contrite heart. Like when we just are broken before him, that's when the Holy Spirit rushes in. He like literally can't deny it. You know, it's just like, oh, it's his, it's when we're laid bare before him, he's like rushes in to cover us and help us, you know? So that's my personal worship before him, where I'm just like, I just try to come laid bare and invite him, his presence, you know? And, but I feel like worship, it's been a journey, you know, as like, all things, and especially when it becomes your occupation, it can get messy, you know, the business of the house of God, the house, you know, the family of God, the business of, you know, it's like, well, what is it, you know, and the, and a lot of times too, like, especially with the music industry, it's like, well, I have these songs. And I remember when I first started writing songs, I wasn't writing them to release them.
It was your conversations.
Yeah. And I remember, like, one of my first songs, somebody, like, whatever, they didn't, like, mean to, but they kind of, like, didn't give me royalties or whatever. But it was, like, whatever. I don't know. Yeah, great. I don't care. Like, that wasn't for you. It was for God anyways, you know? And then the industry's really started to change, and so it's, like, it's gotten messy at different times, but in a good way, where it's, like, God, life is all about humility, you know? Life is all about eternity and like becoming like being conformed to Jesus, becoming like Jesus. And he's like, he didn't do anything except what he heard the Father do, you know? He didn't, like, he was so yielded. And I feel like that's what the Lord's teaching me, what worship is to just be a yielded vessel. That's like, if I don't hear you say anything, I'm not going to say anything. And if I don't see you do, you know, but then when I see it, I'm going to be obedient to deliver what I see from the Father. And so, but the journey of getting into that place of spirit and in truth, that the Father is, he's the one seeking the worshipers, you know, he's searching the earth to and fro, you know, and he's looking for hearts that are loyal to him in this spirit and in truth, you know. So you have to have the Holy Spirit. And, you know, worship is not just music, but the gift of music is so powerful. And so I like to, that's my avenue, you know, because it's like, yeah, well, it's not just the songs that we sing, but it's like, but that's the avenue the Lord has really given me. Mm-hmm. So the song of the Lord to me is something that is, I'm after, and I'm hungry to have the song of God in my mouth. And what I mean by that is like, I really believe the Lord has stored up songs for this last generation before he returns. Mm-hmm. It's like revelations have been sealed up, where there's like only so much we've known about God. And then like there's this wave of like in awakenings and different moves of God's, where it's like all of a sudden it's like, whoa.
Our eyes get open, yeah, and for then, new realities.
Yeah, and then it starts to spread like wildfire through the worldwide church, you know, mm-hmm. And he does it. He rests on different movements, and I love it. It's like, it's not one movement. It's like whenever he passes the baton and he's like, I'm going to give this movement this revelation. And then Everyone's like, whoa, you know. And so we're just want to know him. And in that, he has these stored up revelations, mm-hmm. and he really has a storehouse of songs for this generation. Mm-hmm. Before Jesus comes back, there is going to be a bride that's totally made ready, you know, and we're like so far away from that, but he's about to do it.
Totally.
And music is almost always historically the avenue mm-hmm. of hearts being changed, you know? So I'm like expectant in this. I'm broken before God. I am, you know, I want to, yeah, I'm yielded. I'm like, oh gosh, I don't want to say anything that you're actually not saying, you know, like Isaac said it this last week, who are we to say something that God's not saying, you know? Right. And so it's like, no matter how much training or skill or years that I've had, if God is not speaking something through me, then it'd be better for me to be quiet.
Right.
Yeah, and I feel the fear of the Lord about that, you know. Mm-hmm. But I feel like what God is actually moving us into is a season where everyone begins to lift their voice, where the church actually begins to sing again, mm-hmm. because it's become this a little bit lopsided thing where it's like it's the worship leaders that lead,
yeah,
and the church kind of stands there and kind of sings. But like God is...
got a song for the body.
Yeah. He is looking for the worshipers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like when just hearing you say all of that, like we're both in the music industry and there is that tension, you mm-hmm. know, and there's a lot of people who track with us who are in the industry and who are starting or, you know, have walked a few miles. And I feel like maybe you can expand a little bit on how do you deal with that tension? Because do you go and you hide and you're like, I don't want to get involved. I don't want to get my hands dirty, kind of a thing,
yeah.
you know, and then you're hidden, or, you know, like, no, but God has, he's trusting me with something, he's mm-hmm. calling me, but how do I navigate these mm-hmm. waters? Mm-hmm. Does it make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard. I mean, I'm just like always asking him
mm-hmm.
every move, you know,
like maybe that's the
simplicity of do everything that you do as unto the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so many times where I go to do something and it's not actually unto the Lord. You know, it's unto myself. It's unto wanting people to see me as my image, you know. Mm-hmm. It's unto, well, we need the money. And so, you know, like whatever, you know, it's not like we're making that much money.
Totally.
Everybody in the industry knows that outside of the industry that people are like, you're rock stars. It's like, yeah. But yeah, it's like, but I don't want to be motivated right. by those things. I want to be motivated by unto the Lord. Like, Lord, is this something that you're saying and doing? And then if it is, then I don't care if somebody judges me on it or whatever. You know what I mean? It's right. like, oh, well, it was unto the Lord, you know. But I'm definitely asking God all the time. Like, honestly, just to be really honest, the Lord like rested on me in this set last week, mm-hmm. and it was like resting, you know. And there's these moments where I prophesy with God's word and I'm reaching and I think it's holy and it's amazing. And then there's these moments where the Holy Spirit just like grabs me and I literally almost don't even know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like I almost have to go back and listen to it myself.
Right.
Because it was like, what did I say? And so that happened last week and I was like so like on fire with this word from the Lord. And then I screen grabbed it and I was like, I'm going to post it, you know, because this is like so God. And the Lord was like, don't, just wait. And so that's the kind of little whispers mm-hmm. that I'm asking God about, mm-hmm. like down to like, when should I post? Mm-hmm. Should I not? And I'm not even that great of a poster. There's some of you that are like diligent and faithful and God's like, I'm so proud of you. And I'm more like, you know, a mom, but like, I'm still like, I want to be yielded, you know,
yeah.
And there's enough, I've done enough work in my life that I can look back and be like, it wasn't unto the Lord and it wasn't motivated by love, you know? And like, honestly, our loveless work is just, in eternity, it just isn't going to matter. Yeah. It's just going to be like, yeah.
Hail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, I just don't want to waste my time like that anymore, you know?
Yeah. I guess the answer is keep the conversation. Lord, what do you think about this?
Yeah.
Lord, what do you think about that? Right? And just trusting the Lord. And I feel like being part of a community also kind of helps, because like a lot of people who are watching this, they're part of a church community. Mm-hmm. And before, before I'm even thinking about releasing or recording or doing any of that, I'm thinking, is the Lord saying this to my community? Mm. You know?
Yeah, that's like, so good.
Like, come on Sunday and lead the song that God has given me in the secret place mm-hmm. to my community mm-hmm. and do that for a couple of months, you know, mm-hmm. and actually teach your community about that mm-hmm. and without thinking about, you know, Spotify or YouTube, totally. You know.
Yeah.
And so I feel like our community and maybe you can relate with the prayer room. Like we have a prayer room too. A lot of our songs, we take it to the prayer room mm-hmm. and we just sing in the prayer room for many months.
Yeah.
And like when our church and our community starts to get that message, we're like, wait, this message seems like something from the Lord, like people are getting revelation. And then that's when, at least that's our experience, to start asking the question, should we record this?
Beautiful.
Should this go to an album, you know? But that's it so always starts in the prayer room in our church, like just singing to our church. And so I feel like that's a safe place, you know.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. That's so ideal.
Yeah.
If you have that.
Yeah.
I feel like for me, it's almost just been hit or miss. Like, and sometimes God makes me wait 5 years before I release a song or, mm-hmm. you know, and it's usually like the timing is like, what? Like, I thought I was supposed to release it like years ago and then now it's coming out. And then the Lord like does what he wants, because our offerings of worship in that setting, in the public realm, mm-hmm. are like for him to grab the hearts that he wants to grab, you know?
Yes.
And so, yeah. And I feel like too, for us at IHOP, there's so many of us. So like, I'm not leading at our church, you know?
Yes, yes.
So, but if you, like, that is so beautiful mm-hmm. to me. That is like, I love the way you just said that. It's like, yes, that is the safe place.
Yeah.
That's how it should be, you know?
Yeah, totally. But you, I'm thinking of people that are watching and just tracking with you and your songs. And you just came out actually with an album, Pure, right?
I came out with an album in October and then this was just a single. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And speaking of this that we're talking, like how was this conversation with the Lord? Like, did you feel... was these songs that have been with you forever or songs that you have just written? Like, how did you feel about releasing them?
You know, this album is exactly what I'm talking about. So I actually recorded the album mostly about almost 5 years ago.
Oh, you recorded the album?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Uh-huh. And then we tried to release it 3 different times and the Lord would say, no, not yet. And so it was a big, for me, that's my journey though. Everybody's journey is so different,
for sure.
You know? And that's where it's like, I wouldn't want to put that on anyone else.
Yes.
You know, like you don't need to sit on an album for 5 years, like release it. It's for Jesus.
And you've released others, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. But it's just for me, what the Lord has said to me over and over again is just like, do it for me,
mm-hmm.
you know? And if we release some albums along the way, great.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not like the point of your life.
Yes.
You know, like your calling is to sing to me.
Yes.
And if other people get blessed along the way, that's the overflow.
Yes.
But this is it. And then also too, like the Lord really spoke to me actually a couple years ago, because I was wrestling with it, because it just felt like, man, Lord, I just feel like I'm always on the waiting bench, you know, like. I write all the time. I'm sitting on so many songs, you know. It was great. It's like, it's part of just how I process with the Lord.
Yeah.
And he was like, what if in eternity, like the greatest moments of your life we don't talk about the albums. Like, what if we talk about how you served and, like, laid your life down in moments?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, I mean, it was like a thunder in my spirit. Like, oh, my gosh. Like, of course, you know? Wow. Those moments where God talks to you and you're just like, whoa.
There's going to be greater subjects in eternity to talk about.
Yeah. Like, we're not going to be like, hey, remember when you led and there were like 10,000 people? And like, wow. Yeah. It's going to be like, remember that season that you laid your life down for your spouse or whatever, you know, like you served your parents or you served this man's, you know, this father in the church and whatever.
When you walked in obedience in that season.
Yeah. Or you like cleaned toilets and did dishes and, you know, it's like, those are the things. I mean, it's just, it's so real. And I feel like, as a worshiper, it's really important to keep eternity before you.
Yeah.
You know?
That's so good. Yeah.
Because, like, nobody was made to be worshipped.
Mm-hmm.
So can I say one more thing? Am I rambling too much?
No, this is good.
So I'm a songbird, and that's really what this generation is songbirds.
Explain okay, that. Okay, so I get it, but I don't know
if songbird. Okay, so Bob Jones prophesied back to Mike Bickle, you know, whatever, 30, 40 years ago. About this movement, this youth movement, this prayer room movement was going to be songbirds. And what he meant was these little singers that would be singing the song of the Lord. And it really is like the Lord's like plan that these voices, and you see it in the word, you know, these songs are rising from the ends of the earth. It's these little lives that are offering their love song to the Lord, singing their love song to the Lord. And it's really even how the music industry is changing right now. It's so flooded that there's this feeling of like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to be heard. And it's kind of like, actually, that's the point, is that you sing to the one who's hearing, and that your voices become together a voice. So like one person's voice, even amplified with the most amplification, could never be all the frequencies because it's one voice. But when you bring in all the little voices, you hit the whole sound spectrum. And then your voice becomes like the sound of rushing waters, which is what God describes. You know, his voice is the sound of rushing waters, and his bride's voice will be, in Revelation 19 at the end of the age, a sound of rushing waters. And that really requires everyone to be a voice together in order to be a bride made ready for the Lord, you know.
That's beautiful.
And so I'm a little songbird, and God is raising up his little songbirds all across the earth right now,
right?
You know, and it would, if you try to put the robes of the king on a little songbird, you would suffocate it, you know. Like, he's like, you don't need,
he's so little,
you don't need that, you don't need the exaltation, like, you just need to get tucked up into my altar. Like, King David is so jealous of this generation, you know, that we don't have the same kingly responsibilities, but we have the same glory. You know, we have the gazing on the beauty and the prophetic utterances, and like, it's lit, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know it. Once you taste it, it's like, this is unbelievable.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And so you're like touching this, the heart, the very heart of God in song,
and you actually get addicted to it.
Oh, it's unbelievable, you know. And you're just like tucked up into the altar like a little sparrow. And if you were any bigger, the nations and people and leaders would want to talk to you, and they would pull you out of that anyways. Mm-hmm. You know, like, if really important people, they don't have time. They're like constantly pulled on.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be a little songbird. Just keep me there, God, you know? And that's what he's doing. That's what he's going to begin to do across the nations.
Oh my gosh, that just makes me think of a story I'll share really quickly. But this guy, he was a singer in our prayer room, small prayer room, hidden, you know, in the south of Brazil. And his father came to visit. And his father is a pastor at a bigger city, Rio de Janeiro. And he was visiting, and he was sitting in the prayer room saying, wow, God, if I had all these young people at our church, like, we could do so many things. Like, and he leads a small church in Rio. And he's like, God, give me these young people. And he felt the Lord saying, don't touch these ones. Like, I have called these ones to be hidden and to just be in my presence. Like, and not that, you know, I'm not saying that house prayer people are unique people. But going on to what you said, like, God loves to have people in his presence and just like gazing on his beauty and singing back to him,
yeah,
like about who he is.
Yeah.
And so it's almost there is this jealousy in the Lord's heart, like, oh, don't yeah. touch my songbirds, like,
oh yeah,
let them be there, don't distract them with oh, yeah. other things. And I feel like there's so much that tries to distract us as songbirds
oh, yeah.
in our generation.
Oh yeah.
And what could you say about how to, you know, not get distracted?
Yeah. I mean, sing God's word.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's addicting. Like, once you taste and see how good it is, it's like, oh, you know. Like, I remember looking at Mike Bickle years ago and just being like, what keeps him in this room, you know? Like, I want to get out of here. You know? I'm moving on to bigger and better, right? Like, what is keeping this man here? And then it was like a couple years later, it's like, oh, this is so good,
yeah.
you know? Like, and I know that God has assignments, you know?
For sure.
So it's not even about, like, it's not about a prayer room, you know? It's like...
it's his presence.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm like, I feel more lit up right now, and I'm in the prayer room the least I've ever been in 23 years. Wow. You know? But I get to go, I feel honored and privileged to get to go in and do the sets that I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm mostly doing dishes and laundry and wiping poopy bottoms. And
yeah.
You know, so it's like, that's mostly what I do. But I, yeah, I once you taste and see, it's like, it's not about burnout or distraction. It's more about like, Lord, help the weakness of my frame stay faithful,
mm-hmm.
you know? I don't know if that's probably not even...
No, that's good. It's good. It's deep. So meditate on that. But I know we don't have a lot of time, so I just wanted to touch... do you have anything that you want to...
Well, I got to go in a minute, but I just want to... There's one thing that I do feel like takes out the singers a lot. And... It's kind of twofold. It's that comparison thing that, like, is just this side of eternity. You know, mm-hmm. it's the eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's like, once you taste of the evil, then you're always suspect, you right. know? And so the Lord's like, just feast on the life, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, and we're like, yeah, but, you know, they're... something's wrong there.
Yeah.
You know?
That happens so much.
Yeah. And that can really take your heart out, you know, when you feel that from others, because that happens and it's painful. And then also take your heart out when you start to judge as well, you know. Mm-hmm. And so how do we come out from it? And I feel like one of the things the Lord has shown me is that there really is like a demonic assault that comes against these songbirds, because it really is like God's end time plan.
Mm-hmm.
It's God's, like, it's crazy, you know, like, that all these singers would begin to rise up and sing the song of the Lord. It's like, it's so God's end time plan that it's, you'll feel, you're like, I'm hidden away in this tiny prayer room. No one's even listening to me. And yet I go to sing and it's like this demonic assault is like, you know, right. And a lot of times it's hard to recognize. All you feel is like disoriented. You feel that everyone thinks you're terrible, whoever's, even the few people in the room are like annoyed with you or whatever, or you feel humiliated or intimidated.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a demonically charged attack to get you to stop,
right?
You know, and it's that intimidation or that humiliation after you sang something out. It's like, oh, I shouldn't have done that, you know, whatever. And I feel like you really have to repent and mm-hmm. renounce all agreement, and then resist, right. You know, it's in First Peter, it says resist the devil and he must flee, you know,
yeah.
And like command and every unclean spirit to go. And I plead the blood of Jesus before every set I do in Amen. The public forum, because it's just intense.
It is.
Even with five people in the room, it's intense.
Yeah.
And I'm just pleading the blood. And then after, I sometimes have to plead the blood or repent of any agreement with anything weird, you know. And I feel like that has really been a game changer for me, is to recognize that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, mm-hmm. you know, but we wrestle against powers and principalities. And these are real. This is very real, you yeah. know. And so I just feel like that's what I want to say to like some of these young singers.
Yeah.
coming up and experiencing that pushback in the spirit where you're like, whoa, you know. And a lot of times people that are really called to it, the first few times they do it, it's like the worst experience of their life. And they're like, I never want to do this again. You know, and you're like,
I've been there, done that.
Yes, you know. And so I just feel like just you have to recognize the attack. Yeah. You know, we don't fight as people who beat the air. We're not like, oh my gosh, what's happening? Like the Lord has shown us. He's shown us. Yeah. And so can I just pray for the singers? Or is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
We could end there or whatever.
We can end there.
Yeah. Lord,
yes,
you're the one who is calling worshipers.
Yes.
You're the one whose eyes are searching the earth. And you have found friends. You have found your songbirds. And some of them are yet to be brought in. Some of them even in the next few years. Mm-hmm. Just feel like somebody's going to listen to this video like 2 years from now and be just gotten saved. And he's like, yep, you're the one. I've been waiting for you. The full bride, the whole family's going to come in and start to sing these love songs to Jesus, our King. And Lord, I just ask you for abounding love, that love would abound towards you, towards one another, and knowledge and discernment. Lord, that the singers would begin to sing from a place of knowledge, sing from a place of understanding before you, and that there would be discernment, Lord, of any attack, that there would be a clarity to not come under the assault, Lord, that fear, the spirit of fear, that heaviness that comes, Lord. I just ask you for great grace on this next generation of worshipers that you're raising up right now.
Amen.
That you would cover them, Lord, and that they would take such delight in singing under the shadow of your wings, that they would just come and get tucked into a community, get tucked in under the shadow of your wings and just sing their hearts out, Lord. And I ask that for those that you've called to be more in the public forum, Lord, that you would give grace to stay faithful to you, Lord, to not be swayed or tossed about by different pulls in the spirit of the age, Lord. I thank you that you have set the songbirds free from being tied down to the spirit of the age, that we're no longer under that sway, but we have the sway and the influence of the Holy Spirit. And so I just ask that the greater is he who is in us would influence us deeper than any spirit of the age that could draw us into fame or comparison or whatever would be a distraction. And Lord, I just ask for your word to run swiftly through the mouths of your songbirds in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Laura.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe tell us how can we track with you and...
Well, I'm hit or miss on Instagram, Laura Hackett Park. And I have a Facebook and I have a website, laurahackettpark.com. And I'm steadily releasing songs that the Lord gives. So...
And when are you coming down to Brazil?
I want to.
Hopefully sometime soon.
Want some Brazilian barbecue.
Yes. Oh, thank you so much for being here in this cast. And we love hearing your story and just having you speak over this generation of what the Lord's doing. And we pray that, like you pray, that the Lord will raise his songbirds in Brazil.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Bom, gente, esse foi o podcast. Se você curtiu, não deixe de deixar o seu like. Por favor, deixa lá o seu comentário também. Nos deixe saber o que o Senhor está falando com você. Deixe testemunhos. A gente sempre gosta de ler os testemunhos. E não esquece de apertar o sininho para que você receba as notificações dos próximos episódios dessa nova temporada, que está recheada de coisa muito legal para vocês. E a gente se vê nos próximos episódios. Tchau, tchau.